everybody, and welcome to the latest edition of the TeachNet podcast. And today I'm being joined by Graham Athwell, who is one of the pioneers and, I suppose, veterans of research in the field of digital technology and VET, and who is involved in multiple projects in the area of AI and vocational and educational training. Graham, you're very welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Graham, before we get started, you might tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you've been working in this field for a long time. You've seen a lot of innovations over many, many years. So can you tell us in a couple of minutes, give us a brief background to yourself and your work in this field?
I'm a veteran. I'm old. I'm the oldest researcher in vocational education training left, I think. But yeah, I've been working in the field of vocational education and training for about 40 years. And the field of use of technology in vocational education training for about 30 years. So we've seen an awful lot of stuff coming and going. I seem to remember somewhere that I had a project where we were developing the college's manifesto on board on a CD-ROM, and they had to get us a bigger hard drive, which they jammed into this machine to be able to record this thing. So yes, we've seen a lot of tech come and go, and I've been working on AI projects since 2017, which I guess in the AI field, that makes me a veteran there as well.
Absolutely.
First of all, on a project called Tackle AI for Vocational Education and Training, and then a follow-up AI Pioneers project. Interestingly, we got approved on the 1st of November, and on, I think it was the 17th of November, ChatGPT came out.
Yes.
And I suppose the big change is that in the first project we were running, we were having to try and convince people that AI was interesting and worth looking at and might be important. By the time ChatGPT came out, everybody wanted to know. We didn't have to tell them that AI was going to be important. So yeah, seen a lot come and go. And I have to say, in educational technology, I'm probably a little more skeptical than some people. I've seen an awful lot come, which was going to change everything. And the education training was going to be totally different, and it would be open to everybody, and it was going to go. And I've seen a lot of those projects disappear. So I have a sense of the foreboding sometimes with the hype which comes out of the large tech companies.
Well, look, I think that is really interesting, and I think your perspectives will be fantastic, because I do think that history that you have in the field, and that's, you know, let's call it cynicism or, you know, being careful or critical, I think is very much needed in the current climate. And I had a look at the Tackle AI project, and it's funny, isn't it, how timing makes all the difference to these projects. And you might tell us just briefly a little bit about the Tackle AI, what that did, and we'll put link to that in the show notes. And then what you're doing in the AI Pioneers project, because we had a little bit of experience ourselves in that. I was involved in a project called AI for Tea with the French ministry, and we were going nowhere fast. All of a sudden, ChatGPT comes along, and like you've just described, then everybody was interested. So maybe tell us a little bit about what you were doing in those projects.
Well, both projects focused on professional development for teachers and trainers in VET. I mean, that's the key to me. It's the key to use of any technology in vocational education training is the teachers. And sometimes people say the teachers are such a barrier to this or that. They're not a barrier. They're the people who enable it. And in general, we've always found that they were enthusiastic. One of the projects, I'd like to go back a little further, because before that, we had a project on assessment and technology-based assessment in vocational education training. And we ran quite a large-scale survey. I think we had something like, it was a lot, 5,000 replies to the survey, most of them from Portugal because the Portuguese ministry backed the project. And we found, we did a lot of analysis of that survey, and we found two things were important in terms, one counterintuitive thing we found, firstly, older teachers were more confident about using technology for assessment than younger teachers. That's a very important finding. And we also found out that confidence and perceived competence in the use of the technologies was best where we had teachers, occasional teachers who'd followed a proper training program, so basic program, and had professional development in the technology itself. So I think that is a big learning, and I think that will apply to AI as well. So Tackle Vet, we ran a MOOC. I think we had about 450 people on that MOOC across goodness knows how many countries, every European country and a good few non-European countries. I mean, in AI Pioneers, we've continued that training for teachers, but very much moved it onto a national basis or a local basis of recognizing that languages, using stuff in native languages, is also important. Just running stuff in English isn't the answer. And so we've continued to that, and we built up that. I think we got about 1,000 followers on LinkedIn, probably more than that now. The newsletter which we send out, which is after the project's ended, because we're not closing down AI Pioneers, we're continuing that, and we're opening it up to other projects to come in and try and get some networking between the many projects we have around this. And especially because VET, you know, doesn't have so much attention paid to it, perhaps, than general education, and certainly not to universities. So we need to work together where we've got expertise. And that newsletter goes out every Friday morning or Thursday night. It goes out at midnight, something like that. And we've got about 650 people get it. And that number is also growing. So it's once more, really, we're working at knowledge, sharing practices, especially good practices or effective practices between teachers and trainers. That's the key to all of our work.
So I think there's some really interesting stuff there. I mean, in the Gen AI for VET project, we're currently surveying teachers in the project country. So in Ireland, we're surveying staff in City of Dublin ETB. We are surveying VET teachers in Germany and Berlin. We are surveying teachers in Poland, in Flanders, and in Slovenia. So we're trying to see what they're doing with generative AI at the moment and, you know, trying to identify what are some of the challenges. So that whole area of teacher professional development and what you've said there about the earlier survey you did, particularly with the Portuguese teachers, I think is very, very relevant. I suppose looking at the area, and you've mentioned the AI Pioneers, I think we would encourage anyone who's listening to this podcast to sign up for the newsletter. We will put the links in the show notes so that people can find that. And I think I would be suggesting to my colleagues in Gen AI for VET that we join your network, because I think we should be all learning together here from one another. Talk to me a little bit about what you're finding in terms of professional development for VET teachers and trainers. There's a lot of discussion going on at the moment around frameworks. There's a lot of work being done in this area. We have UNESCO, we have the OECD, the European Commission, and Code.org have been developing frameworks. They've been the frameworks developed in Australia and elsewhere in the United States. Digital Promise and others have been developing frameworks. Do you find that these frameworks are helpful in the world of VET? Do they map nicely to VET, or are there some gaps?
Well, first of all, let's distinguish between where frameworks are coming from, because we've got a lot of national government frameworks coming out now, especially in the UK.
I forgot that. Yes, sorry.
I have to say that I am not impressed with most of the national frameworks. They seem to me to be overly influenced by the large tech companies. There are serious frameworks like the European Union's framework for teachers and trainers, which was there before AI. Now, I think UNESCO's work is very impressive in this field. So there are frameworks there. But of course, the big issue is the frameworks, and there's a lot of similarities between them. We've actually, in AI Pioneers, we extended the DigiComp Edu framework to include AI in it, which still hasn't been done by the European Commission. Haven't actually published a new version of DigiComp Edu. And I'm not quite sure what is happening there, because the citizens version has come out with AI, but I don't know what is happening with the funding or the development of the DigiComp Edu. But the frameworks, you've got to implement them. This is all very nice. People like these frameworks, teachers like them. but they've got to be implemented, and we've got to have opportunities for learning for teachers and trainers. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go on a formal course. Courses can be good, but it does mean there needs to be professional development opportunities based on those competencies that are emerging. And the other thing I suppose to say is that critical digital literacy is emerging as absolutely key in this area. And it's particularly key, I think, for promoting agency. And I think we should be beginning to see what is the agency which teachers and trainers have, which is an area perhaps that's been neglected in the past.
So just going back on that, you've touched on a lot there. I think it's interesting your comment on DigComp Edu, having DigComp getting a major revamp last year. And I think we should just look at what you've done with DigComp Edu as well. You've mentioned a few things there. What do you mean by critical digital literacy, and particularly in the context of AI?
Well, it's the basis of understanding things, isn't it? It's about understanding if we get through it all. What I do think is quite interesting is that we have these frameworks for teachers around AI, and then we've got the students. And I can't see a lot of difference between the competencies which teachers need around AI and the competencies that students need, or learners, or apprentices. I mean, it's the ability to interpret, understand, make meaning in context. And remembering, AI doesn't understand any context. It has no clue about what it is. It's producing words. It's producing words based on an algorithm which tells them what's the most likely next word to appear. I have to say, actually, from a rather unpromising basis, it produces quite good stuff, quite surprisingly good stuff, if you actually program it right. I mean, I don't have any bullet points. My AI of choice, my AI agent of choice, does not give me bullet points and knows I will be very not happy if it does. So you can program the damn things to do things. But it doesn't understand context unless you give it a lot of context. And that means we have to deliver the context, we have to deliver the understanding, and critical digital literacy is understanding what the computer does a bit, but also being critical, prepared to understand and question what we're using it for.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think going back to the work that you mentioned in Portugal, confidence and competencies, I mean, if you don't understand how this thing is working, how can you actually use it in a vet context if you're working with trainee electricians or plumbers or whatever vocational area you're working in? You need to understand yourself how it works, and that it's stochastic, and that it's going to predict things, that it can make mistakes and all of that. And you mentioned agency. Is it in that context that you see that the role of the teacher having the wherewithal to make decisions as to when to use it, where to use it, and how to use it?
Absolutely. And I mean, I think this is causing problems because, I mean, other people I'm working with at the moment is I've been working with the Council for Europe and working with them on democracy in education and training. And it seems to me that work is very important because we need to have democracies in our own organizations to be able to share and develop that agency. Perhaps too much has been, especially with competence frameworks, there's been too much top-down directions of telling people what they should be doing and how they should be doing it, rather than trusting to the expertise of teachers and trainers. And that expertise is there. In the field, it is there. I'm convinced of it. And the interest is there. But we have to listen to them. And of course, the other thing people we have to listen to is the learners. And I think that's one of the key lessons of the last 2 years. And I'm seeing a move in that direction now, is people are beginning to say, yes, the learners. Now, look, if you want to talk to people about not misusing AI, because it's a useful tool, and you want to talk to learners about not misusing it because AI can reduce your competence. There's plenty of research on that now. Should we offload the learning to the AI and let the AI do it, and it doesn't do anything good for your head? Then we have to talk to students and give them a say in how we use it.
So what I'm hearing here, and I think it's something for Gen AI for Vet that we hope to include, is learner voice and speaking to learners. And actually, Pat and I did a number of podcasts a few years ago with Vet teachers in Dublin, and they were actually teaching programming, and they were constantly in discussion with their students. They were talking to them, you know, they were finding out what they were doing. And initially, like most things, they were nearly afraid to tell the teacher what they were doing. But ultimately, it became a part of almost like, this is what we expect you to do. And, you know, let's have a discussion of where it works. And you've touched on the issue of offloading, where it doesn't work and where you should not maybe engage in its use. Where you mentioned practices, and I'm just conscious of time now, and I do think, Graham, we'll have to come back for more because I haven't got near any of the other questions that I had. To finish on a positive note, can you give me one or two examples in the vet space across Europe where you are seeing organizations maybe designing and implementing teacher training or professional learning experiences for vet staff that you think is working well, that's meeting people where they're at, and that's actually got a practical benefit for staff and learners in those settings?
Germany is doing a lot here. It's not really a surprise, is it? Because VET is much better funded in Germany than, say, here where I'm sitting in Spain, where there isn't a lot of money in VET. Yeah. So with that funding, what I'm seeing is quite a lot of professional development. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? Because you've got different vocational areas, and that we haven't really talked about, but the impact of AI is going to be very, very different in different vocational subjects. Some great stuff being done in engineering around the Bremen area of Germany, which is the area I know the best. I have many friends there. And they had a, what do they call it? It's a drop-in area around AI. They call it AI lab or something. I can't remember what they call it, but it's a drop-in area where they got all the equipment, but also sharing practices between themselves. And I think that's probably the most effective way of professional development, is to get groups of teachers sharing their own practices, especially where they're experimenting, which it's a lot of what's going on at the moment. People are experimenting different ways of using it. And a set time where you've got to drop in to a place with toys to play with is a damned good idea. And it's quite important as well that they have sufficient equipment to use. It's very difficult to be innovative in an AI field if you've got no access to the technology to use it. So that practice, I very much like that drop-in idea.
I think we might stop there because I think we'll come back. But I would love to follow up with you on the Bremen case study, let's call it that. And I've been reading about some of the activities that have been taking place in Germany around professional learning for VET. And I completely agree with you on this notion of sharing practice. And I think in the project, that's one of the things we want to do when we get people up and running with some training, is to get them to start sharing what they're doing. And I totally agree with you on the funding side. I mean, these tools cost money. We shouldn't be using the free versions, the shadow AI. So I want to thank you for being so flexible with us today. Our audience won't realize we've had some technical challenges, but being good learners, the three of us, with Pat's help, we figured them out. And it's been an absolute pleasure, Graham. And I would love to invite you back, maybe with some of your colleagues from the Bremen area, and maybe we might get one of our colleagues from Berlin to join us and have a chat about what they're doing and how they're doing it.
That's a great idea. I look forward to it.
Thank you, Graham.
We'll continue.